And here we are in God's presence, and God is awesomely, consistently, always who He is, never less than who He is, for His honor and glory. Always good, always gracious, always glorious, always right. Now, having said that, and here we are in a world with all the turmoil and exercises from looking out all across the globe, world, all the stuff going on, and then you look at our little lives, and then we look at our circle, the circle in which we live in, and we see that, and we look at that, and we deal with that on it's ordinary and extraordinary movement. At work and home and school, sickness and health and everything. And we do that. And we do that now. And so, now, taking that, which is where we are. Now, here's Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is living in a world like us, only back then the nation was about to be clobbered. Nebuchadnezzar is there and going to be there, and ultimately going to destroy the city and the temple. And Jeremiah is living through that. And Jeremiah, it gets, as we shared 100 times here, it seems like, gets drained and is very hard, is all alone. He's all alone, essentially, in what he does. And he is getting all kinds of flack. They hate him. They would like to kill him. They're going to put him in prison a couple of times anyway. And they're going to do all the different things. And they're doing it. Now, in the process, he gets caught up in the day in and day out drama, dynamic of just being alive. And he gets caught up in that, understandably. And in being caught up in it, you get drained because unless you're going to flow with it in some way, but it's all going in the wrong direction, so you don't want to go with it. And then you're trying to, and God's trying to get you to Jeremiah to think right and stay with him as he ought to, and to speak God's wonderful word, to be a little light in the darkness, if you would. And that's easier said than done when we start looking at everything around us, and then it all gets boring and dull and nothing seems to work and everything seems to work and nothing seems to work. So we're there. And in the process, here's Jeremiah. Now, having said that a little bit, Jeremiah goes down, as we share together, down, and he doubts God, he questions God, he mistrusts God, he isn't sure about anything. He just loses it. And God stops him cold in his tracks, as we shared, chapter 15 and verse 19. God stops him cold in his tracks. He did no more conversation was to take place, and God rebukes him, and then God deals with him and gives him some encouragement, and he gives him 2 wonderful promises, the conditions that involve a promise, conditions that have promise. You do this, and I'll do that. You do this, and I'll do that. That's the 2 things. A, verse 19, if you turn around, going the wrong direction, saying the wrong thing, thinking the wrong things, if you turn around, then, verse 19, will I bring thee again? And that's the same verb. Even though it's written that way, it's the same, I will turn. God said to Jeremiah, you turn around. And then he said, if you turn around, I'll turn around. Now, you need to keep that in mind, because you won't catch it in the language you're looking at necessarily. So Jeremiah is to return around and repent and stop looking at everything else and look at God. And God said, if you turn around and look, get your act right, get your sights in order, line yourself up again. You do that, and God said, I bring thee again, I'll turn around. Now that verb is causative. The first one isn't. You turn around, if you would, Jeremiah, and repent. Turn around in my direction. God said, if you turn, I will make myself causative. I will cause myself, I will make myself turn toward you. You turn, start turning to me, and I will make myself, I will cause myself, I will make sure I do it, turn in your direction. Now, you want to have that in mind, and that's important, because that's a super-duper truth, that humans, we can only do so much. If you use the word repent, change 180 degrees, if you change, turn around, and go and go from wrong to right, from light, from dark to light. If you turn around, you turn around, but you can't make happen what has to happen. You can go in the wrong direction and experience all the wrong and all the bad. But if you turn around to the good, you can't get to the good because you're not able to do it. And God he said it. You do your part, and I will do mine. And Jeremiah would have to say, using our language, if I turn around, God, I'm going to turn around, but unless you do it, unless you help me, it's not going to go anywhere, to say it. And God knows that. Now, just a short way to do this. Over, if you would, please, to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And if I may, picking up, remember now, God gives them a wonderful promise. They're going to return after 70 years from Babylon, verse 10. Now, having said that, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I have a wonderful plan. Verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. So you're going to do your little bit. You're going to call. It doesn't make anything happen. I can say, help, help, help. I can call 911, but 911 has to come. 911, that isn't going to do anything if they don't show up. So I can call, it ain't going to do anything. Help, it's going to help. God said, I know you call and go and pray. Look to me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me. And when you seek me, you're going to turn around, and you're going to find me. And you shall search for me when you search for me with all your heart. In other words, you mean business. That's what God always waits for, until you mean business. Are you really locked into what you want? Are you trusting me really? Not partially, not a little bit. Are you really hanging in there so no matter what happens, you're still trusting me? Verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Now, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I have caused you to be carried away captive. Now, all of the flavor from Genesis to Revelation is the humans do their part, and God understands we're made, we're flesh, flower is the grass, as a field and flower, the grass, here a moment, and then gone. Now, having said that, it's just God, you said you turn around. You're going to turn around, and I'm going to do this for you. You're going to find me. You don't have to hunt for me. You don't have to think of Acts chapter 17, 27. To the Athenians, if you're blind, groping in the dark, trying to find your way, if you seek me, even in the dark, you don't know what you're looking for, you don't know how to get to me, you don't know how to get to me, but you're looking for me, trying to get to me, get to me, get to me. I know you are. And when you seek me like that, when you're groping for me, I will be found of you. You'll find me. I'm gonna be found. Now, all over the place. Over, if you would please, to Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, then go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. These are just page after page. God's going to help us. But we'll just get a little of it. Chapter 15, 2 Chronicles, verse 1. And the Spirit of God came unto Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, the king, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. That's Jerusalem, southern two tribes. The Lord is with you, while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, and then going to go on, all of that. Verse 4, But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. God, you're not hiding, no. No. We're in his presence. So God, where are you? See. God says, seek me with your heart. You must believe all over the place. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible what? To please him. For he that cometh to God, man, woman, boy, or girl, must believe what? That two little words, he is. Do you believe I am? That's the starting point. I got to believe God. Here I am. And that's God said, when I start giving God with all my heart, looking, God said, here I am. And here he is. Wow. Now, and so here they are. And sliding over just to see how it works, how it's going to go, and all of the movement, picking up in verse 12. And they entered into the people, Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, with all their heart and with all their soul. So this is a rare time the people are united in one voice to seek God. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Now that is encouragement to make sure you're part of the group, because you're going to get put to death if you want. So that gives you great encouragement to make sure you say amen with the rest of them. And whosoever should not seek the Lord, verse 13, should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. It wouldn't make any difference. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with a shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with all their desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. God, the people all united. They weren't all of full heart, but they all united. There was no division like in our own country. Silly division, wrong division, stupid division, but we got it. We got it. That's the system. They want the system to work. And they're, anyway. Now, so God, what have you got? Well, you've got this, that if they seek me, and they did, and God would be found. And over again, seek the Lord with all your heart, and you will be found. So now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, over to Jeremiah and chapter 15. And Jeremiah is turning, going to turn, and God is going to restore him to his position. He's going to have, and God's going to make that happen, so that's wonderful. So I'll say it again just so we don't totally lose it here. If you do your part to look to God, you want God's help, you look to God with all your heart. Now, you aren't going to make it happen. God is. But you're going to do it with all your heart to find God to help you. You have to look to God. And in other words, you don't have to make it. I got to make all the promises work. I got to make everything come out. I got to do my stuff to make, like grit your teeth and make. No, you don't. No, you just have to have, you're going to trust him and with all your heart, and God is going to know what you need before you ask him. God already knows. You just have to give him the space. Jeremiah, don't be down looking and being discouraged and depressed and giving, disregarding God's wonderful person, and thus you lose the wonderment and delight of God's person who is delightful. You lose that. And you don't want to lose that. You don't want to lose that. God's delighted in being who he is. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so here we are looking, and so Jeremiah complaining and distrusting and all of that, nope, going to quit that. He is going to do that. And so you got to help me, said God. God has said that to Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, and Jeremiah, that they had to look to him, and he would be an ever-present help. Therefore, verse 19, saith the Lord, if thou return then, will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. Now, if you do that, and I want you to go, and you turn around, and I'm going to do my part, and I'll fix it. You're going to be like a refiner, as you'll see in a second. And you're going to have to go. I have to fix. You have to. You get, your thinking's wrong. Your mood is wrong. Your manner of acting and speaking is wrong, like we shared last time. You don't want to start downgrading or limiting or don't do it. Just God give you lockjaw, so you can't say it. God, I will not like. Job, I will not speak against you, God. I will not say one word to anyone in any way that makes you look other than exactly who you are. Well, and that's what we want to have that. That's what you're trying to help us. That's what you're helping Jeremiah with. Jeremiah, don't get caught up in any nature except God's essence, nature, essence, being. And don't get where you disregard God being who he is, and you make him other than who he is, and thus you change the glory of God like Romans 1. That's what the world did. They changed the glory of God into a creature made like unto man. And they corrupted the image. They made him less than, other than, like humans. And he isn't like humans at all. So now, having said that little bit, and remember now, over if you would, in the light of that, you'll note, please, the second in this process. And it's a refining process. Verse 19 is the second condition and promise. Middle of the verse, thou shalt stand before me. That's the benefit, verse 1. God will turn around and God will restore him. Now, when you come to the middle of verse 19, if thou take forth the precious from the vial, and that's if you would, if you'll do your part, you take forth the precious from the vial, then what will happen? I will respond and shall be with thy mouth. So you're going to be my spokesman. Turn around. I'll help you. And if you fix what comes out of your mouth and your heart, then if you fix that, then I will be your. I'll be your words. I'll give you the words to do, to say, to speak. Wow. Now, having said that, and you'll notice, please, if thou take forth the precious, the little word take forth has to do with to go out, to leave, to express activity, to cause to go out, to lead out, to put forth, to bring forth. Take out of your mouth. Don't give all the stuff you just did in verse 18, 17. Don't do that. Bring out of your mouth, the verb, to cause it to come out. What to come out? The preciousness. Precious, precious, precious words. And the word and the little verb precious has to do with that which is heavy, weighty, worthy, valuable, costly, etc. Most valuable, most precious. Let come out of your mouth that which is precious, not that which is vile. That's the very opposite. Vile. Vile. Bad. 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 The lowest degree of something. Miserable. Wretched. Mean. You couldn't go any lower. Don't let words come out of your mouth that belong to humans who are lost in debt and dead in trespasses and sin. They don't know how to say anything. Don't let those words come out of your mouth. You don't stop them and let what I'm telling you and what I'm saying, let that come forth. Don't mix it up. Don't give a little of me and a little of you. Give all of the wonderful truth about who I am and what I am saying. And enjoy the process. Enjoy the truth. Now, and having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would. So, you don't want to. Don't let vile, the word vile has to do with being a drunkard, a glutton. All of those words are involved. Now, and thus, one other place, and then we'll try to put it together. Now, having said that, don't let that happen. Fix your mouth. And when you want to say, think of Job, chapter 1, chapter 2. His wife said to him, you ought to curse God. He said, I can't curse God. God has a right to do what he does, and he's always true, he's always right. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? Absolutely. So God, in your presence, here we are, here's Jeremiah's world, and we're looking at it, thinking about it, and here's our world, here we are now, and things are happening in our lives, in our families, in our health and wealth and country and countries and all over the place. That they're happening, and you have to not get caught up in them. And don't start with say, well, I'm a believer, I'm looking to God. God, why don't you? Why didn't you? Why aren't you? God, I've asked you so long. Aren't you ever going to answer? Aren't you ever going to do? And why did this happen? And we got all of those such things. Don't let that happen. That's vile. Don't do that, said God. Don't do that. I don't appreciate that. No. So God, here we are looking over to Isaiah and 55. In Isaiah chapter 55, you are going to recall the context, a wonderful invitation to the world to be saved, actually. And whosoever, verse chapter 55, verse 1, to everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, etc., and anyone, God, Israel, and anyone else can come and get saved. Now, sliding along, to verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So seek the Lord. Now, and God, you're going to help us to get this. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way. You got to turn around. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, you get rid of all the stuff in your head that you've been saying and thinking and mumbling about. Get rid of them. The wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy. Turn around. And what are you going to find? You're going to find God's mercy unto him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, God, that's what you get. Now, and thus, God, you're going to help us some more. I am about this business of thinking and speaking. Verse 8. For my thoughts, the same little word in verse 7, my thoughts, my thinking, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So all of it, that's, if you can't keep saying your thoughts and telling them they're God thoughts. This is how God thinks. God doesn't think like we do. God doesn't feel like we do in the flesh. It's different. Different. So my thoughts, verse 7, and my ways are not your ways, and I'm there, turn around, and you're going to find my mercy, and I'll pardon you. And verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. A whole different world. So God, I have to be careful I don't attribute to you my thinking. How I feel, how I interpret, how I understand daily existence, world conditions, hard things, very hard things, and very easy things. Thus, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's what you want to know. So please don't, if you're going to walk with me, don't attribute to me your smallness. Learn my bigness and trust that. Don't trust your smallness. Don't trust your ignorance. Don't trust your thoughts. Don't do that. Now, so therefore, and what are you saying? Well then, you're telling Jeremiah that he has to do what? He has to have, and just think of a proof to put to the proof. In other words, you go and test out what you're going to say. Make sure it's precious and not vile. Make sure it's pleasing and not unpleasing. Bad. Now, okay, and what do you do? Well, that's just like with metal. You know, if we had a big fire going, and we had a fire going, and we have to have a good fire to be a smelter to go and get the slag and the stuff off of the gold, the silver, whatever we're doing, steel, whatever you're making, and you're doing all of that, and you're going to go and purify the gold, purify the steel, purify the silver. You got to purify. How do you purify it? You've got to smelt it down. And when it gets, how are you going to do that? You can't do it in ice cubes. You can't do it in a little tub of warm water. It has to be hot. Fire. Hot. That's how you refine. That's how you do it. Now, and you remember our the Lord saying, well, before I get there, over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 10. You're familiar with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If I may. And may I go directly, I'll read verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations, reasonings, throwing them down, overthrowing them, all the imaginations, all the reasonings, I got them, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So God, pure, precious, not vile. And I got to go and make in my little head to us believers, we got to what? We don't want to have a whole lot of highfalutin, proudful thinking that is destructive for ourselves and very poor, a very bad testimony to others. It gives the wrong impression about God. And God said, please don't do that. Now, and verse 5, and bringing into captivity, taking captive, overcoming every thought to the obedience of Christ. The word obedience is to hear attentively. To hear attentively, and you reach out your ear to hear it in order to obey it. That's why the word obey comes out of it. You're hearing with the view to do it. Thus, every thought to the obedience, to the will of God, to the word of God, to the Christ. You're looking to God in Christ, God's wonderful will, and you're looking to that. So God, when I'm going to get involved, I have to be careful with my little head and heart that I don't start murmuring, mumbling, grumbling, and saying things and thinking things that are totally wrong about you, and I am blaming you, accusing you even indirectly, that God, if you did something, this would never be. And I need to see that. So now, having said that, you're going to ask, how? How are we going to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ? In his, looking for God's will in it, God's word, that's what Jeremiah was to do, and that's what we're to do. Chapter 10, verse 5. How are we going to do it? You have to have a hot fire. Now, you remember, without turning there, you aren't far away. If we do it, you can probably turn your Bible faster than I can. Revelation, and I can beat you because I know where I'm turning. See, you don't know where to go. So I can hold that bit of information till I find it. And then you say, find it. And I raise my hand, I have it. You see, Revelation and chapter 3, and picking up, if I may, remember the church in Laodicea, I'm going to go to verse 15 directly. I know thy works, 3 and 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, one or the other, but because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, etc., etc., etc. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried, put through the refinery, for get all the slag, get all the stuff away from it, get a pure gold. I counsel thee to buy of me gold that has been tried in the fire, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, etc. So, what's the problem? The church, the end of the church age, historically, where we're at, there's no heat. And thus, if there's no heat, no hot, then nothing. Do we have any gold? Do we have any precious words? Any precious truth? No. Because it requires what? Refinement. You got to refine. You got to get rid of all the slush and put out. We're saying a wonderful little truth. God's a wonderful person, but let me tell you, but. God knows everything, but you see. And you bring all that you just lost. God's wonderful. Stop. Don't add anymore. Now, so here we are. God, we have to have heat. We're ever going to have heat. You got to have a hot heart, fire. Our God, think of Hebrews 12, our God is a consuming fire. See? Wow. That's awesome. And God said, listen, I want you to know. I want it pure. Pure. I'm pure, holy. And you are. And I've done a wonderful thing for you. I've made you fireproof. Isn't that true? Remember the, fireproof. And you are. You're able to stand in the presence of God and not get burned. Moses could stand in the presence of God in the Mount Sinai, what? And not get burned. How can you do that, Moses? That's impossible. 40 days? Come on. No. God, you do what? You're wonderful. That's right. I want you to know I'm hot, pure. There's no impurities. Don't make any. So therefore, you be a refiner and have a refinement, have a refinery in your heart and in your head. And make sure it isn't cold and it isn't lukewarm. Make sure it's hot. Make sure it's fire, burning, melting, smelting. So your words and your thoughts are so caught up in my wonderful presence in person. Now, having said that, God help us. 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to go jump ahead into the future at the judgment, the Bema Seat of Christ. And in doing so, I want you to pick up what you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. Every man's work shall be made, this is believers only, every man's work shall be made manifest, public, clear, plain, for the day shall declare it because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try, put to the, there's the little word, try, trial, put to the proof, every to be tried, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort of kind it is. Now, what do you know? Well, if the judgment seat of Christ is when we go up and God takes us home, even tonight, I trust. And when he does take us home, what are we going to do? Are we going to what? We're going to be forgiven sinners, true? Are you a new creature in Christ then? How much of the old is then? Right now you struggle with it to believe and exercise it. You don't have any then. So God, you aren't going to judge us for whether we goofed. No, because you already forgave what? All our sin. What are you going to do? I gave you a wonderful privilege of being mine and representing me like Jeremiah on planet Earth. And you were able to have a wonderful existence, trusting me and working out my wonderful plan for your life that I have for your life before the foundation of the world. And if you have my will, or bring every thought into the obedience of the will, the word of God. And if I do that, then what? All of those wonderful things are going to what? They're all going to pay off. Gold, silver, precious stone. And if I don't build, and I build junk, I build that mixture, a little bit of God, a little bit of me, and I believe but I don't believe, and I trust but I don't trust, and we put all that stuff up, and God said that's wood, hay, and stubble. And that all goes. Wow. By fire. Refinery. God clears it up. Wow. And, picking up verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But it doesn't say you can't get lost because what? God has forgiven all your sin. He isn't going to judge you for your sin. He already did it. Now, and if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. That's right. The only way, I can't have anything in my presence forever that is less than pure, put to the proof, holy. I don't want to have it refined and find some more slag, some more stuff. When I'm done with you, there'll be no stuff ever again except purity. That's all there's going to be. Pure gold, pure silver. That's what you're going to be. Now, And thus, taking that, over if you would please, go with me over to James. The book of James. And let's run it by us again quickly. Because we have Jeremiah did it. He did it. He fixed his act up. He's going to have a couple of down times more. But that's all right. Each time he gets stronger. And James chapter 1, here's our little word, tried, refined, the refinery, putting things to the proof, putting the fire hot and cooking, melting, smelting, and so the bad stuff gets on top, you can sweep it off. Now, James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. Verse 3. Knowing what? That the trying, the refining, the putting to the proof, to test the metal, knowing that the experience, knowing that the trying of your faith, worketh patience bearing up under the load. But let patience bearing up under the load have her perfect, complete work, produce what it's supposed to. What is that? That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Pure. I want your faith to be pure. I want you to trust me with all of your heart, not 98% of it. I want you to believe me all the way. I want you to allow me to be who I am. That's what I want. And thus, 100%. How? God, we're going to count it all joy when we go through the refining process. That we'd be entire. And then if you keep reading, you know, about wisdom, if we lack, I'll slide it down. If any man lack wisdom, etc. And think of being, I'm on, I say good things and bad things. And verse 7, let not that man think, I'll read verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth up and down, off and on, in and out, is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, verse 8, is unstable in all his ways. I don't want off, on, good, bad. No, I want it to fix it. Jeremiah, turn around and fix it. I'm there to finish it for you, to make it work. And, verse 12, blessed be the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, there's your verb, to be refined, put through the proof, refined, the heat, the furnace, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Wow. Now, oh, got that? I got it. So, count it all joy when you fall into all these temptations, and let patience produce and refine and work out all the stuff in my life. First Peter. And chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and may I slide down quickly? Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, the judgment seat of Christ and all of those wonderful things. Verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season it need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, troubles, hardships, all kinds of stuff you have to live with and go with, and no matter what, who, when, where, and that knowing that what, verse 7, that the trial, there's your little word, trial to refine, to put to the proof, that your trial, the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried, there's your little verb again, put to the proof with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So you're going to be much more precious than gold. So if you have some gold, have some wonderful, if you dig in your yard and find some gold somehow, and you want to go and have a little oven and heat it up and purify it and get good gold, pure gold, and you can do that. Now, the likelihood of you having that in your yard is zero, probably, unless you've hid it there. Now, but the heart, it's more precious than that gold. What God does in your heart and head is more precious than you could do with, what, 11,500 pounds of gold that the Queen of Sheba gave Solomon. 11,500 pounds of gold. Wow. What he does in your heart is much more precious. And that's what God wants. That's what God wants. Well, no, that's what where it is. Isn't that wonderful? What happens if you had to go to Washington to get purified? What happens if you had to go to the hospital to get purified? You don't have to go in. What happens if your family has to be just so? You don't have to have anyone, anything, anywhere. The purification takes place right in your little head and heart. And you don't have to move. You can lay down tonight in bed and have a good cook, have a thing going. And you don't have to move. You can be in the thick of the muck. And the purifying, it's going. Wow, that's right. Peter, verse 7, that the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold. Now, having said that, over if you would please, to keep that in mind, because you're asking how to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. And I count it all joy. I'm looking to God, and I'm putting it in free. It's up to me. I'm the refiner. And I have to put all my thoughts and words and work and home and school and feelings and fears. I got to put them in my little pot in my heart and make sure that I get rid of the stuff that doesn't belong in it. Now, Romans. Romans chapter 5. And you will note, in connecting it to our thinking, Romans chapter 5, remember God's wonderful working. And I'm going to start, if I can, directly to verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so are we wonderfully expectant, but we glory in tribulation, that's here and now, and knowing, and tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load. And patience, bearing up under the load, verse 4, produces the trial, the test, the proof, experience, and experience. It's used twice. It's the same word, to try, to test, to put to the proof. It's going to put to the proof. What is? You're going to have to go through whatever, and you bear through it, you work through it. And what do? Patience, bearing up under the load. I bear up under the load on my shoulder. I'm going to go under the load. I'm not going to take it off. I'm not going to run away from it. It's on my shoulder, and I'm going to go, and I bear under it, and it's going to produce a wonderful experience. I don't have the experience without it. I have the experience with it. And if you put 10 more pin books on there, I'll have an experience. Experience, putting to the proof, verse 4, and it produces expectancy. That's what it does, because what happens? The fire's going, and boy, there comes some stuff floating up, and you scoop it off, and then you keep heating it, and you scoop it off. Wow, I think it's making steel and stuff, and you make it iron steel, and you cook it, if you would, and then cure it, and then cook it again. And cook it again. Wow. God, you do that. I do. We do. God, why do you do that? Well, because you see, I'm after something. I'm after getting something out of you that I am making possible when you turn and look to me. When you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. And when you find me, I'm going to do a wonderful work in your heart. That's what you need, isn't it? The world's going to be doing what it does. Work, home, school, your body. Your body's doing what it does, isn't it? I mean, how do you stop your body doing? Besides shooting yourself, how do you stop your body? It just works. And it gets sick, and it gets easy, and it wears out, and everything. Wow. But you aren't looking for the keeping that. You're looking for the inner man to what? Be renewed and renewed and renewed, even though the outer man is what? Perishing, 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 perishing. That's what you know. Wow. Now, and thus hope maketh not ashamed, verse 5. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So God, you're going to do what you do. And so God, here we're going to walk. And I'm going to ask myself very quickly, how can I walk like that? Well, 1 John 1:7 makes it very simple, along with 100 other places. What are you telling me, God? If you walk in the light, as I am in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from how much? All your sin. So I got all this mixture. I want to be hot for God. So I got to walk in the light. And when I'm walking in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is doing what the heat of the refinery would do. It's cleansing me. Christ died on the cross for all my crummy thoughts, all my feelings, all my everything about me. He died for, so that I could have that. And so I walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. And in the same wonderful verse 8, 9, and 10, and I know I'm a sinner, and I know I have stuff that's all mixed up. I know I have a lot of junk, scrag, all kinds of stuff in my life that needs to get out. But it isn't going to come out yet, but I have to keep the fire going and the refinery working so it doesn't pop out. Out of a cold oven, out of a lukewarm heart, and I start saying and thinking stuff I just should never do. I don't need to do that. God, thank you very much. Hope you get a little. Now, perhaps you have a particular request. Remember, if you would, Israel, remember our country as we're going through the trauma of all of this. Sounds like to me God's trying to give us all this good stuff. Here's his word, all the wonderful good stuff in his word. And then the whole system, the church system, is rebelling against what God is trying to be. God, I'm trying to be your God, and the system's rebelling against God. The churches, the music, the everything, we don't want to have that. We don't want that much. And don't disturb what we have and how we've had it. As lousy as it is, don't disturb it. Well, that's the way it is. Otherwise, if it wasn't that way, think how easy it would be to get saved. People would want to get saved. But when you want to hug the wrong stuff, you won't let it go like we did on Sunday. And when you hug the wrong stuff, you're never going to get to what God wants. And the world doesn't want to let go. And therefore, they don't get to God. So God help us.